We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
I think that this kid might be more prepared for actual NBA play than most players because of what happened to him in college. You know, here's a kid. He won a state title as a senior in high school, and then he's obviously a five-star recruit. He goes to a team at Florida State where they're a Sweet 16 team, and he learns that it's not all about him, and no, you don't handle the ball, you're not creating your own shot, you have to go over to this spot or go over there, we need you to play defense. Whatever it is, he's willing to do.
He played the fourth most minutes on that team. College basketball and basketball in general is structured differently. You didn't draft a backup quarterback, okay? You didn't draft a backup anything. There were reasons why he was coming off the bench. It made sense for Florida State, which was a top five team last year.
Yeah.
So let's be fair here. The other thing, Mully, is that Bulls fans wanted a change. Bulls fans embraced this reset. If those two things are true, then you've got to accept what happened last night is all part of the process.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We did it. We made it. It's November 20th. It's a Friday. Good morning, David. How are you, sir?
Morning, Mully. Happy Friday. Yes, boy, we made it this week. How about the week that it was?
Yeah.
In Chicago sports, Monday, the Bears stink out loud at Soldier Field. Tuesday, the Cubs say goodbye to Theo Epstein. Wednesday, the Bulls have the NBA draft. Yesterday, everybody sort of exhales. And who knows what's going to happen today?
Does Jed talk today? I was trying to figure that out last night.
I don't believe so. I think Monday.
No? Okay, Monday. I know he's supposed to talk at some point, and the rumors that are circulating around the Cubs are awful disturbing. The idea that there is no money left, and there has to be sort of this significant, if you will, pay cut that takes place.
Well, that's why they're waiting until Monday. They're having a weekend garage sale at Clark and Addison, and then he's going to – apparently, that is the plan. You know, I guess he could. Today is his first official day, I think, on the job, the passing of the torch, if you will. But my understanding was that it will be next week. And you're right. The things that you hear and the reports that you see, they don't paint a very positive picture for the offseason for the Cubs.
But big news yesterday, Wrigley Field designated as a National Historic Landmark.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah, and with that comes what you would call access to federal income tax credits, a lot of them, and it's going to be a windfall.
Yes, it will be a windfall, and that's good news for the Cubs. And look, this is a difficult to hear a lot of the rumors. It's tough to say goodbye to Theo Epstein, but not an altogether bad week for the Ricketts family, because when you look at what this means, and back in April of 2019 when they completed the renovation at Wrigley Field, Julian Green, the team spokesman, at that time projected that if the Cubs were to attain landmark status, it could mean as much as $125 million in tax, you know, credits. That's access to income tax credits, $125 million. Now, the Cubs are claiming losses this year around $140 million. That's a lot of money to lose, but it's a lot of money to have access to as well. So that's not an insignificant headline when you talk about the landmark status of Wrigley Field.
So if they make 140 and they lose 125 and then Theo leaves the $10 million, you're getting close to a break even here, David.
The back of the envelope math is a little fuzzy, Molly, but I think you're right, right?
Okay, you know, just making sure.
Everything's sort of evening out here.
Yeah, and it's good to have friends in high places, I guess, when it comes to national landmark status, and congratulations to them for that. The MLB schedule is starting to come out. How about the White Sox? I believe the date is April 4th. It's a very significant date in this house because my 16-year-old son was born on 4/4/04. So it is... you know, give me the hard eight. It is a big, fun day for us, and it will be more fun because apparently we now are heading to Anaheim to celebrate. I don't think that's happening.
Maybe.
But the Sox open at the Angels, the first Sunday night baseball game, the first primetime broadcast will be the White Sox with their MVP against the Angels and some guy there that once won an MVP. The guy that won a few of them until Jose Abreu ended that streak.
Albert Pujols?
It's Pujols. His reunion with La Russa will be the story of the game. Oh.
Yeah, right. It's a lot of stories in that game. That's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to have the DrinkWorks fired up on that night. That is really cool because you've got Madden and La Russa, you've got Pujols, La Russa, you've got a lot of storylines, and it also just speaks to how popular the White Sox will be and how good they're expected to be. This is maybe something people need to get used to again, the White Sox being something that, worthy of national television. Well, hey, look, ESPN's like, hey, look, we discovered the White Sox.
And presumably, if Tony La Russa remains manager, and I don't know why I say that.
Did you say if?
Well, I did.
Did you say if?
Listen, okay. I keep thinking that if he goes to prison for a day, which apparently is the law in Arizona.
You shouldn't laugh. Yeah.
No, I mean, but if that happens, that could be kind of disturbing. I mean, presumably, when the court case is finally heard, we're going to see videotape of him. And I just think that could be a meme.
You know, you mentioned that. You're kind of dreading that if you're a Sox fan, aren't
yes.
you? Because there's more embarrassment to come if, in fact, there is a video or audio that will sort of live in,
right.
in infamy here because –
Kiss
we still
rain.
Hear
yeah.
The 2007 audio is still popped up in the last couple weeks, and that's embarrassing. So, yeah, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how they're going to handle it, but it is a grim reminder that, yeah, maybe that's not the end of that story.
Well, I can say for one on this show, you won't hear any of that. I refuse to play anything embarrassing out of context.
You will do what you're told. And that will be the end of that, sir.
I'm taking a hard line on this.
What's context? It's talk radio.
I've never even heard
what
of
it. What is this context you speak of?
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, just a word I heard. Hey, how many people, show of hands, watched Thursday Night Football? That was a fun game. And the Seahawks, 28-21 winners over the Cardinals. Greg Olsen left the game with an injury. That's sad to see. It was an injury to his left foot, and he may miss the rest of the season. Kyler Murray seemed like he was having some issues with the old shoulder, you know. Kind of looked like me trying to warm up. Oh, what's going on with this thing? Hey, wait a minute.
He was banged
jumping.
Up.
Yeah, he's really banged up.
Yeah, you know, he still played pretty well. You know, Russell Wilson played pretty well. Those are two very mm-hmm. good teams, and mm-hmm. They're teams that are fun to watch because of the quarterbacks, because of the receivers that they have. I mean, when you see DK Metcalf and DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, those are guys at a different level athletically. And that just makes them, you know, that was maybe a Thursday night football game, which sometimes makes you want to turn away. It made you want to watch because it was fun. And plus, I love the Seahawks uniforms.
It was fun. And the Bears, by the way, on the bye. This is the weekend off, so that you won't have your Sunday ruined by the Bears. They did get some business done. They placed Dwayne Harris on injured reserve with the triceps injury. So Yeah, that's one era of punt returning that apparently is over.
A mental health weekend for Bears fans. You know how much of a relief it will be to know that your Sunday will not be ruined by any anemic offense or any bad play calls or anything else that would happen when you're watching the television set and your Bears are on there ruining your night or your day or whatever. But don't have to worry about that this weekend.
Yeah, I you know, and I got to tell you, I started yesterday, a couple of things came up, but I started trying to get like a – I have never cooked a turkey before, and I'm about to Traeger my turkey. So I've got – apparently you got to get on that. Apparently you got to get all this stuff ordered, and you got to figure out what you have and don't have, because you can't just go to the store on Wednesday, I'm told, because you'll run out of time. I don't know.
Really?
If anyone, that's what I've been told.
I've tried that before.
Have you really?
Yeah. The Wednesday night, the grocery store dash?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always had those issues. The other thing I found out, and I don't know if you're following professional boxing in any way, but Floyd Mayweather, there's this guy, Logan Paul, he's a YouTuber, and he's like challenging Floyd Mayweather. Careful what you wish for, because now Floyd wants to fight him. The guy's like 24, Floyd's 43. They're having this like little thing going on, and I'm looking at this like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. And it turns out his brother, did you know this? I did not know this. We know that Mike Tyson is going to fight Roy Jones Jr., okay? So it's like a 8-round exhibition. I don't know what it is, but they're getting ready for that. They're going to do it in Carson City, not Carson City, whatever. They're doing it out in California somewhere. But on the undercard is this guy's younger brother, Jake Paul. So this has nothing to do with Floyd Mayweather beating up his older brother. This is Jake Paul, who apparently is also a boxer. Guess who he's going to fight, David? I'm sure you don't know this.
I'm sure I don't.
Nate who? Robinson. Nate,
oh, really?
Nate Robinson, who's never had a professional fight, is going to fight some YouTuber. Nate Robinson.
Why is he fighting?
Because he's like a bad shot maker. And
he should be dunking.
He exactly. Yeah. The guy is 5'9 and won the – but I heard this, and it was like – I don't know why. It just seems like – it's just like you're mentioning names that you have heard. He's fighting? Like what is going on in the world?
Is Boozer on the card?
I think Boozing is on the card. But no, I don't think – it has nothing to do with – big people fighting. It's just the damnedest thing I've ever heard that Nate Robinson's getting in the ring. Nate Robinson, you remember Little Pintside Nate? I mean, he's a thick man, but he's not a very tall man. He can jump out of the gym. Why would he fight in a boxing match?
He has kept his image out there. He's done some things, I think, in social media. I always envisioned him maybe his second act, including a skateboard somewhere. I don't know. Nate Robinson is a tremendous athlete, though. We know that from watching him with the Bulls. He was also a football player, wasn't he, at the University of Washington?
Was. That's right.
Could have played cornerback in the NFL, perhaps.
He's a renaissance man. Why can't he box, Mully?
Because it's just goofy. Because he's 34, and you're going to take that up? I don't know. I heard that, and it just – listen, and I'm going to say this, and I feel bad saying it, so I probably should shut up. But there is sort of this kind of sideshow element to him as a basketball player, right? I mean, remember how when he was with the Bulls, he would just jack up shots and you'd be like –
I remember he was pretty good with the Bulls.
But he'd literally be like, don't take that – oh, my God, what a great shot.
Yeah, he was like, no, yes.
Exactly. He's a bad shot maker, so he could make terrible shots. What the hell is he doing trying to box? And why is he boxing some idiot? It's just the whole thing. I just don't understand what's happening in the world. There's a lot going on. I hope to God that somebody with a little bit of experience, maybe Rudy Giuliani, can explain it to me, because I'm not following the plot. Something's going awry for me.
That is quite a plot, and it's quite a movie that's unfolding with him as
the star.
Hey, are you staging or celebrating the big anniversary tomorrow of the Yasmani Grandal signing with the White Sox 1 year later? Doesn't it seem longer than that?
It seems – I don't know what it seems. I like that signing, and I like him, and I got no problem with it. I just think the White Sox, everything was going along smoothly, and they took some detour onto some dark road that I can't follow. I'm not sure it's on my GPS. It's just no idea what's going on with the White Sox. Well, just throw my hands up.
Well, Major League Baseball free agency should kick into gear here soon. Tonight, the legal tampering, a term that I love, the legal tampering period for the NBA begins at 5 o'clock. A lot of action, I think, over the weekend in the NBA. You don't know how active the Bulls will or won't be, but there'll be some names out there that'll be on the move, I think. And the biggest one yesterday, you see Gordon Hayward is opted out of $34 million with the Celtics to become a free agent.
Again, I think when you make a certain amount of money over the course of your career, that is that number sounds insane to us. But I want to be happy. I'm going to go someplace I want to go. I'm getting out of here. It's just the
dumbest
thing.
$34 million.
Not something that you or I would do. Can we say that fairly? First of all, we'd never be in with that kind of money. But
Butler grads that I know are not doing that. They're not making that kind of decisions. That's an odd decision to make, but there's something going on. Maybe right. He knows something we don't, certainly. And I wonder where he's going to land because he's still a pretty good player coming back from that injury, but that's a lot of money to walk away from.
We got some big college football games. We have more college basketball bad news. Do we go back to Rick Pitino's plan? I don't know. It just seems like every time you turn around, there's another team that has to pause, and it's DePaul this time, and it was the Ramblers before, so it's just tough locally if you like that sort of thing to stomach all that news. There's a ton to get to, and we'll do it. Start that process next in the Pick 6. Mully and Haw on the Score.
It's Pick 6 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 6 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick 6 with Mully and Haw starts now.
With no fans at Soldier Field, do you think the Bears have any idea how they are currently perceived in Chicago? Will that help preserve the jobs of the team's brain trust? What would it take to engender a loss of employment? And how should fans express their displeasure in a meaningful way?
I find that fascinating. I had a friend of mine who asked me yesterday if it was time for fans to start cheering for Green Bay in order to get rid of people. Do you start cheering against your team? And it went through my head that, you know, there's very little way for you to express the disappointment this season has been to Bear fans. Now, they're 500, so if you want there to be change, if that's what you're after, then guess what? You're actually gonna need them to put together at least 4 losses if you in the final 6 games, if you really want something to go on. I don't think the Bears are interested in making any changes. I think they're hoping that they can get to 9-7, maybe squeak into the playoffs if it's expanded, and therefore everybody can kind of be puffy-chested about the great year they had. But, without being there, it's hard to express your dislike. I don't know that there are many people out there that would cancel their season tickets because they're difficult to get. Now, obviously, you don't have them going on right now, but you talk about a legacy thing and handing them down, and people love going to games. But that's really the only way that a team knows you are mad at them, is if you cancel your seasons, if you don't share your money or allow them to have it. And I think that that's a move that's sort of the last move and a very drastic one, and I'm not sure anybody would want to go through it.
It's a fluid situation, though. You can't answer that question and accurately today because it could change the next time they play. We remember what happened in 2014 when they got blown out in Green Bay,
right,
at Lambeau Field, and the mark that left indelibly. So I think the Bears have been fortunate that there haven't been fans in the stands because it's been more of a civil disobedience. There haven't been the booing. There hasn't been the vitriol in person. There hasn't been the middle fingers as guys walk off the field into the tunnel. Remember that, Jonathan Quinn? There is a lot of frustration. I mean, heck, the Bears have not won a football game since October 18th, and they haven't been any better at home than they've been on the road. You know, they've lost 2 straight at Soldier Field. So right now it's very, I think there is a good sense, though. I think they have a good idea of how frustration has mounted throughout Chicago. Will that continue? We're in the midst of it, so I don't know that we can project what it's going to be like in a month, because if they're still, you know, continuing on this downward spiral, you just can't. You have to keep your mind open to all sorts of change. It is professional sports. How can fans express their displeasure? Well, I mean, they can 312-644-6767. They can call and text. There are a lot of methods, but I think the Bears are probably fortunate in some ways to not have fans there. But on the other hand, the lack of fans at Soldier Field creates an economic reality that might prevent them from making a move. You have to keep that in mind, too. So I think to be continued.
Pick six! Wow!
Regarding the Bears' running game, offensive line coach Juan Castillo referenced returning to some schemes that worked in the first three games of the season. Quote, we've had some success in and maybe doing those a little more. What is Castillo trying to say?
Well, it sounds on the surface like he's trying to say go back to doing what you did with Mitch Trubisky at quarterback when they, I think, you know, they simplified things. I think they pared things down. And you also had a mobile quarterback that was, you know, there to escape the pass rush and maybe give you a little bit more of an option. You know, there were other limitations that I think would explain why, you know, Mitch was replaced. Going back to him, yeah, I don't know. I think that's probably inevitable if both quarterbacks are healthy. We found out that Nick Foles, you know, he's able to, you know, maybe improve a good offense to be a great offense or a much better one, but I don't think that he can lift everybody else around him on a bad offense. I don't know if Mitch can either. But I think what Juan Castillo said was very interesting, because essentially he's saying, let's go back to what we did in the first couple games, which doesn't seem like the way Matt Nagy wanted to go, and run the football more effectively. They've got to do something at this point in time, because they're not running the ball. They're not doing anything offensively. Change for the sake of change would be welcome.
I think if I'm reading offensive line coach lingo correctly, he's saying run the damn ball. Run the damn ball. Let's go back to doing what we did before. We ran the ball early in the year. That helps an offensive line. And I think that's what he's driving at. Now, the problem comes in when you run the ball and you can't get a first down. So you get the three and out offense going if you're not gaining yards by running the football. But the Bears are a team that really needs balance to what they're doing, and they didn't have any last time out. And listen, the offense is broken, and they did do some decent things to open the season. But again, we go back and we look at the opponents and we argue that case. So I don't know that Juan Castillo has an answer, but I think if you really gave him the preference, he'd run the ball.
That is a pick six!
The White Sox are scheduled for the ESPN Sunday Night Baseball opener against the Angels, one of two national TV appearances in the first week. That's two more times than the Cubs. Is this the new normal in Chicago baseball?
Well, I thought we had decided we were never going to use the word normal again in relation to the White Sox for some obvious reasons. It seems as if, just from an outsider looking in, that there is an opportunity here, especially if the Cubs, if these rumors are true, and they need to get rid of payroll, they need to reduce it, that would indicate that you're going to trade some people and you're going to try to build up your minor league system, if indeed that still exists. If you're going to need to get younger players, you're going to need to just get rid of the money, right? So if it's true, all the rumors that are out there, then there has been a little bit of a change. And the White Sox have these players coming back. Presumably, I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday who wanted to know that if with Tony La Russa's relationship with Jerry, I thought this was a fun one, if you get to a point where you need a third starter, does he get it when Ricky didn't get it? Can he just go to Jerry and say, you know, I don't have number three, can we go get number, yeah, okay, we'll trade anything and we'll get number three. It's going to be fascinating to see if they are in a win-now mode with the 76-year-old manager.
Well, they should be. I mean, I don't know what you're waiting for. If you're Tony La Russa, you better have that conversation. Maybe you should have already had it. Maybe that's why he took the job. I'll take the job, but get me a third starter. Or you get me an ace and move everybody down a notch. And, hey, by the way, you know, we need a right fielder as well. You know, the Sox should spare no expense in this offseason. They should go for it now. And the fact that they're on national television is a reflection of just how popular they could become. You know, they're fun to watch. You look at all the awards that have come in from Jose Abreu to Tim Anderson. This is a fun team. You know, again, based on the way the season ended, it's been a difficult, you know, 6 weeks or so because there's been distractions, there's been disappointment, and there's been a little bit of controversy. But this is the bat flip mentality White Sox. This is a fun team, and I think that this reflects that. And yeah, they're more compelling right now than the Chicago Cubs because we don't know what direction. Well, we do know what direction the Cubs are headed, and it's not toward more interesting.
Can you believe this? Pick six!
Good transition, because an ESPN report on the Cubs speculated that new team president Jed Hoyer will face such a payroll reduction that even Yu Darvish could be on the trade block, given his 3 years and $59 million left on his deal, and either Chris Bryant or Kyle Schwarber could be non-tendered by the December deadline. Do you think Cubs fans are ready for another rebuild?
Well, they better brace for one, because I think that's coming. And when I saw Buster Olney report that on ESPN about the possibility of having those two guys non-tendered, boy, that would be a terrible way to start your tenure, Jed Hoyer, by, you know, exercising such, malpractice, you would think, because if you can't get something for either guy, what are you doing? I mean, that would be a bad way to get started. You know, the Darvish rumors are out there because of his contract. You look at teams, and they would be willing. 3 years and $59 million left, that's not a bad investment for a guy who's a potential ace on any staff. So, and if the Cubs can get some young prospects back in return, if that's the direction they're headed, yeah, I think you're open for business if you're Jed Hoyer, and I think that's part of the reason we saw the transition in power this week with the Cubs and Theo leaving and Jed stepping up. So if you're not ready for a rebuild, you better brace for some of those realities. I don't know how they're going to thread the needle between contending and rebuilding. They may try, but that usually doesn't go very well. So I think you better prepare yourselves, Cubs fans.
I think that is just about as crazy an idea as I've ever heard, non-tendering Bryant and Schwarber. That's insane, frankly. I get it. I understand that that they got to reduce payroll, but you're kidding me, right? I mean, these two franchise cornerstones, these two guys that were an essential, you don't win the World Series without those two guys. You don't do it. I mean, it's just not that that doesn't happen. So you're erasing something that was, it's one thing to say, you know, the only guy with some trade value is you, so we got to trade you. That's not ideal, but that's one thing. The idea that, you know, we got to get rid of these guys, who cares if we get anything back? That is just plain insane. And no wonder Theo's gone.
Pick six!
DePaul joined Loyola on Thursday as another college basketball program put on pause due to a spike in COVID cases. Both seasons will be delayed, and with college football canceling another 15 games this weekend, where is your confidence in the college basketball season being played in the midst of a pandemic?
Boy, I'm worried about it. I'm worried that we may have erred by not having that already. I'm worried that they're not going to be able to get that season in. I sometimes worry about how programs will do if you have this universal rule where everybody gets another year, who's leaving, who's not, who's coming in, who's decided not to come in because the guy they thought were leaving is staying. So I think there's 1,000 different things that come up when you start thinking about this. I think what's really upsetting about the delay to the season for both of these teams is I think both teams were really going to be pretty good. I think that it was finally time. You know, you thought that DePaul could finally maybe make a little noise. They got some good recruiting going on, and they got some players that you're hoping could do something. I know the Ramblers, we've been waiting for this year. This is a really big year for them. Some of the guys that got to the Final Four as freshmen heading into their senior year, and good players and a good group and really a fun team that I was looking forward to watching. So, you know, I wasn't joking around with Rick Pitino talking about what's going on at Iona. I think that it makes sense to do something with college basketball. The problem is everybody's in a building, man. I mean, the problem is you're inside, and there's no way in Chicago to decide, you know what, we'll play those games by the lakefront. What?
Yeah, you can't do that. 357 Division I programs, and they're all asking themselves the same question moving forward. I mean, this is a troubling reality that college basketball is facing. You can't play outdoors. It's an indoor sport. The Big Ten released its schedule this week. They've built in some flexibility there, and I think they're going to need it. It's unfortunate, but this is the reality and the world we're living in right now. I thought that everyone felt like we'd be further along. We're not. So I don't think we should be fooling ourselves. This is going to happen. You feel bad for DePaul and Loyola. You feel bad for a lot of the programs that are about to face this. But this is the life in a pandemic with college sports, and they want to make the money. But it's going to be difficult, so mask up, everybody.
It's a pick six!
Wrigley Field officially received national landmark status Thursday, making the Cubs eligible for as much as $125 million in tax credits. The announcement came from U.S. Secretary of the Interior David Bernhardt, a Republican, which is interesting mostly because of Todd Ricketts' role as a major party fundraiser. Is it a deserving break for the Cubs or quid pro quo politics?
It may be unfair to try to connect the dots, but it's impossible not to do that because that's the first thing that comes to mind. I mean, this is not happening, you know, at this point in time, given the realities of the political landscape in America and given the realities of the relationships with Todd Ricketts to, you know, the administration. This is something that has to come from the cabinet, and it's the Secretary of Interior doing this. So, yeah, that was one of the first things that came to mind. The other thing in the back of my mind, Mully, you wonder, Theo Epstein walked away from all this. You wonder if this, not necessarily the landmark status, but just the political realities that exist with the Chicago Cubs being a fundraiser for the Republican Party. You wonder if those two things are intertwined at some point with Theo leaving prematurely or early. But yeah, I have to say that this sounds as much a quid pro quo as it does a deserving break. Can it be both?
Yeah, I didn't think much about politics when I heard it because I got a chance to go take my kids to Fenway and to see that ballpark, and it has landmark status, and it's just an amazing thing. I'm sure there are people that come to Chicago to do the same thing, to go to Wrigley, and you know, I think it is deserving of landmark status. But then you throw in what's going on in the country, and I don't even know what is it America held hostage. What is it, day 17 or something, 18? I don't even know. I don't know when the hissy fit ends. I don't know when, you know, reality is accepted. I don't know when we decide that democracy is more important than bruised feelings. I have no idea what's going on. It just seems like, you know, you got a guy that's fighting to remain in charge of not doing anything since the pandemic is raging and you can't be bothered to go to a meeting. The whole damn thing is nonsensical. And whenever you think about connections, it can upset you. But I don't think this is connected to that, but who knows? Rich people seem to be doing okay in the course of what's happening in this country. The rest of us are having a little bit of a different issue. And, you know, 312-644-6767. We're going to give away not one, okay? Not just one, but two drink makers today because I think we all need them. It's something that that will help us all get through whatever is happening around us. And it's my gift of the year, so I'm really excited about it. David, I know you love the drink maker as well, so we're going to give away
one. Oh, it's Friday. I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready.
We're going to give away two. We're going to give away two, buddy. We're going to make it happen. And they got brand new C2 cartridges, the whole bit. It's fantastic to get one of these babies. Let's get to Kevbo, and we'll come back with Dan Pompey and talk some NFL.
Dan Pompey. Dan Pompey with Mully and Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Dan Pompey joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Dan, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Dan.
Good morning, guys. Are we going to talk about Theo or Patrick Williams today?
Yeah, I think the Bears would love that, wouldn't they? my God, it's you know, Dan, you do a remarkable job coming out of those games always, and I love reading that. And I think though that when you when you actually think about where the Bears are at with their offense right now, I don't know that I've ever seen a worse offense. You know, you ask that question. This is probably the worst offense I've ever seen. As bad as they've been, I don't think I can remember. And I was wondering this. We've talked about this before. It's about a signature play. What do they do well? What do they do? Let me ask you this. What do they repeat? What play do they ever go back to and say, okay, we're in a tough situation. We need to get to the bread and butter. Let's go to this. They never do that because they don't have anything that you can hang your hat on.
Yeah, well, they're completely lost now and out of sync for a number of reasons. You know, they had a quarterback change. They've had all kinds of injuries. They, you know, the offensive line wasn't very good to begin with. And now, of course, it's been jumbled up and they've lost people and they've got communication issues. And, you know, penalties were an issue for a long time. They weren't the last game, but, you know, wouldn't be surprised if that popped up again. They can't run the ball. You know, they're without Montgomery now, so they don't even have a, you know, a legitimate running back. Unless Lamar Miller suddenly becomes healthy, you know, I think, you know, they've just got a lot of issues. Is there a chance that they could start to get a little bit better if players start to come back in the after the bye? It's possible, but it's still one of the worst offenses that the Bears have ever had, and that's saying something because they've had a lot of bad offenses. I started looking at some of the offenses in their history, and you know, obviously there was the one in 2004. With Craig Krenzel and Quinn and that offense, and then you go back in the early 70s. You know, you had 1974. The entire team threw for six passing touchdowns. The entire team in a season. Gary Huff was the quarterback for most of the year, and then how about 1970? Ross Montgomery was their leading rusher with 229 yards. I mean, you know, this is a rich history of incompetent offenses, and this offense is right there with any of them.
Yeah, you know, and I think what's as indicting as anything is just when you look at how they got here, Dan, and you look at Matt Nagy and all the rhetoric in the offseason, but through 10 games, they lead the NFL in passing attempts with 402. They are last in the league in rushing yards with 782, and that disparity between, you know, trying to pass the ball for a coach who promised to at least try to establish the run and then the inability to get any sort of being the worst rushing team in the NFL, that, you know, you hate to say it, but those are the kind of trends that get people fired.
Yeah, you know, I think in fairness to them, this was not the plan, you know, and I think that was clear from the first couple games. I think the plan was to have an offense like that, but it didn't work that way, and the players started getting hurt, and they veered from the plan. You know, I think the biggest problem that this or the biggest mistake this team made was not trying to fortify the offensive line more in the off season. I don't think it was acquiring Nick Foles. I don't think he's the problem. I think Nick Foles has kind of been set up to fail. You know, I think if you had a better offensive line, things would be a lot different for the running game. I think things would be a lot different for Nick Foles, assuming he would still be playing, or Mitch Trubisky. And it'd be a lot different for the offense overall, you know. But I think the offensive line struggled last year, and, you know, the Bears convinced themselves that they could improve with the players they had, basically. And, you know, kind of patch in a couple of guys, veterans and that sort of thing, and not make any big moves on the offensive line. And that, to me, that was the critical mistake that kind of set everything in motion that gave us the offense that we have right now.
This segment with Dan Pompey is brought to you by Lakeshore Recycling System, Chicago's go-to waste and recycling hauler. And, Dan, I think that we're touching the surface of something that people are confusing. And I think that what you just said is important to remember, which is they believed coming into the season that they could get improvement from the offensive line, whether it was because they had the continuity of the group or because they were going to fix one position in the interior and then Juan Castillo, the coaching change, would take care of the rest of it. But I keep hearing people saying things like, well, they went and got Robert Quinn instead of addressing the offensive line. Listen, if they hadn't gone and gotten Quinn, they would have had Leonard Floyd there. And the difference in the salary for this year would have been $2 or $3 million. It's not like that Quinn is taking the money that was going to the offensive line. It was a decision they made between two defensive ends, not about investing in the offensive line. And the reason I think that's important to remember is because with Quinn failing in the fashion in which he has, everybody keeps pointing to that as where they're spending the money instead of the offensive line. They would have spent the money on the defensive line anyway. They had made a decision that they were philosophically going to pay the defensive line and not the offensive line.
Yeah, and, I think, again, the miscalculation was that they felt like the offensive line that they had was good enough. And it's not. The depth wasn't good enough either. And, that was really the start of the problem, I think. And, in terms of Quinn, to go back to, I don't think anyone at the time when they signed Robert Quinn said, this is a bad move for the Bears. I think everyone thought it was a pretty good move, myself included. And he just hasn't played up to expectations, which is the problem. It's not that necessarily signing him was a bad move, at the time. I think in hindsight, it looks bad. So, I think you have to look at some of these things fairly and not say, just an idiotic signing or something, because no one in the entire NFL thought that.
Dan, Allen Robinson has been the ultimate professional. He has been productive, but his agent's been kind of a squeaky wheel here. Brandon Parker tweeted out the other night about asking, should he not be the first read in the red zone 99% of the time? It's not the first time that his agent has spoken out. It suggests that there might be a little bit more acrimony there than you hear from Allen Robinson when he talks. Anything to watch there? And when you talk about the future of Allen Robinson, do you see him, staying with the Bears in this offseason?
Well, I think that's going to be up to the Bears, really. They hold the cards here, both in terms of whether or not they are going to give him a contract offer that will satisfy him, or if they decide not to do that, they could put the franchise tag on him. And I don't see how they can lose him given where they're at offensively. They've got so many holes on offense and not enough resources to address all the holes. So, if you create another hole, you're going to not be able to address another hole. It's kind of like the Dutch boy at this point with the dike and all the leaks. And I think, if they have to franchise him, I think that's what they have to do. And but clearly, there has been an undercurrent, not only from Robinson's agent, but from Robinson himself, that, they're not happy with some things. I mean, Robinson's behavior on the sideline, behavior on social media, you can understand where he's coming from. It's not hard to see why he's frustrated, is it?
No,
not at all. Dan, thank you, buddy. Great catching up. Be well.
Good stuff, Dan. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, guys.
That is Dan Pompey, our guy. Yeah, David, it was disappointing to learn that he wasn't sincere about having a new nickname, Old Fashioned. It was all part of some Tonight Show prank, which escaped me. I didn't know, just if you say goofy things, that somehow that's funny.
Call me Old Fashioned, I mean it. Call me Old Fashioned. That's my new nickname.
Right. And that turned out that was written by Jimmy Fallon's writers. What?
Yeah.
I mean, are they writing for Giuliani? Is that what's happening right now?
Is that what's going on? Yeah.
I hope there's something like that happening.
That might explain a lot. But yeah, I was surprised that Allen Robinson would be part of that a little bit, to be honest. It doesn't seem like it's his thing necessarily to take a joke that far, but I guess he doesn't want to be called old-fashioned. So.
Well, he's going to be called old-fashioned. I don't know how you get away from it now. I mean, I think now it's almost an imperative to call him old-fashioned because it was insincere. And by the way, you don't have to be Tony La Russa to judge sincerity. Let's get that out there. All right, we're going to reset, get back to the top of the lineup. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.